if he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? To but some if you balance people, on that big chair,
yeah, I mean,
doesn't mean much.
I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
This has been a summer of frightening animals in Rhode Island. A piranha in Coventry, an alligator in Lincoln, and now an unknown scary creature in Portsmouth. Whatever it was so big and so scary, a Fall River couple thought they were going to die. It's a story you'll see only here on Eyewitness News. The couple spoke exclusively with our Sean Daly. Sean joins us now with their amazing ordeal.
We haven't heard of anything quite like this around here before. Imagine swimming mindlessly in the late afternoon sun when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a huge, horrifying creature, roughly 15 feet long, rocks your world. Tuesday afternoon here at Teddy's Beach in Portsmouth. What happened gives new meaning to this danger sign.
It's still hard for her, isn't it? Yeah, she went to a counselor, talked to a counselor this morning, right?
It was low tide, and Rachel Carney was out beyond the danger sign, floating on her back, relaxing, when big trouble struck.
I turned around, I heard a hissing sound. So I stopped, I looked beside me, and all I seen was a face come up with these big teeth. And I just remember the face being like shaped like a basketball, and the face went in, like kind of sucked in, and then went like squared off. And then it had all white. It kept swimming around me. It rubbed up against my leg. So I just stopped and I pretended like I wasn't moving. That's when it rubbed up, went down, kept going around me.
It rubbed up against your leg?
Up against my leg.
It touched you?
It touched me. That's how I knew it was scary.
Scaly.
Like scales, because I felt the scales unless I seen the face. So I started swimming away. I yelled, "Danny, help me, something's chasing me."
Rachel Carney's fiance, Dennis Vasconcelos, had been fishing with a buddy on these rocks. He raced into the water.
"It's going to get her." I grabbed her by the ass, rear end, and I grabbed her like that, and I whipped her in. We're over her head. I says, "Rachel, just swim. Don't turn around no matter what you hear, right?" Now I stood there, and the thing's going like around me and stuff, all right? And I can see how big it is and stuff, and it's gigantic, okay? It has scales on it and stuff. Now, all of a sudden, for me to you away, this big head comes up. Honestly, I've never seen nothing like this before in my life. It's like a basketball. It's like this big, okay? It comes up, and it's got these fangs, like my fingers, right? The first, this many in the bottom, and about two or three at the top, plus layers inside, okay? And it's like blackish on the top a little bit, and it's got a couple of scales that you can see and stuff, and you can see the white starting under its neck, and it shoots water out of its nose, right, and out of its mouth. It goes like this to me. It goes, and it spit the water out of me. Now I think it's gonna kill me, you know what I mean?
The group thinks the creature was attracted to blood from a nasty injury to Joey Malo's leg. Joey was out in the water, as he is right now, cleaning his leg. Joey, how much blood was there?
I bled for an hour and a half, and it just wouldn't stop.
I will not ever go in salt water again, because I am not scared. I thought I was dead that day, honestly. I didn't think he was going to make it in time to get me. I just thought I was dead. I thought it was a piranha.
At first, I thought it was an eel, okay, because it was when it was rolling first, right, it would roll, and you could see the white and stuff. But when it got to chase her, it was going like this. You know what I mean? Like they go a little bit like this, like a hump sort of. It sounds like a barracuda, similar, yeah, like that, all right?
Man, you're still in the moment right now, 2 days later. You're still in this moment, are you?
I am flipped over this. I went to bed. I've been going to bed with things grabbing me, wrapping around my neck, choking, fighting underground and everything.
Still a mystery what the creature was. State environmental agents checked out the scene today and found nothing. So the best guess comes from marine experts we checked with. They figure it may have been some sort of a tropical fish that migrated here with a warm Gulf current. Mother Ocean. We're live, Sean Daly, Eyewitness News.
Where are you gonna go? Where are you gonna run? Where are you gonna hide?
WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. It's The Real Horror Show with Chris Earle and Derek Gary. You ever see that Providence sea monster,
that,
Derek?
That, my friends, is why they stopped selling Narragansett for a while. They had to do it.
Yeah, there were too many people on the beach drinking the Narragansett seeing sea
much
monsters.
Yeah, it was that Shoggoth, I think, was what came after them.
An eel with a giant bulbous head.
It was a Shoggoth.
Like a balloon.
Right?
Shoggoth.
Yeah, you know your Lovecraft?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sure.
It sounds like a Shoggoth.
Yeah. That was a Shoggoth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, read a little Lovecraft, have too many gansets, go swimming. Yeah. That's a great combination, guy. That's why you don't do that.
You are listening to The Real Horror Show on WMFO in Medford.
It's like there was a guy a couple years ago down on the Cape who said he got a whale swallowed him and then spit him out again.
Oh, I do remember that. Yes, that was last summer, wasn't it?
And a couple of days later, everybody was sitting around like, yeah, that's Lenny the Town Drunk.
Right, right.
Like, we're not taking his word on any of that.
But it was during COVID, so we're like, I want to believe. Just like David Duchovny in The X-Files, I want
to
believe.
Yeah, we had to believe in something. Yeah. But that story disappeared pretty quickly, and I think it was more that he fell off the boat.
Yeah,
after a few too many gansets and got back on the boat.
You know, I love these late season. It's pretty much it's the beginning of fall now. Happy fall. Was it the beginning of fall last week when we were here? I don't think it was.
I've been dusting my sweaters with pumpkin spice.
Nice, very nice.
You know,
yes.
Celebrate fall.
I noticed we both have I have an overthrow little thing here. It's not like a sweater, and it's not really a sweatshirt, but it's one of those things that I have to zip up.
Can I tell you that a little pinch of pumpkin spice
goes a long way
in your underwear?
Nice.
Before you put them on in the morning, just
a little cumin
adds a nice fall touch to your day.
Yeah,
all day long.
A little zest.
Yeah, little fall.
It's like what's that wild scent you're wearing? Pumpkin pie.
And she'll notice too.
Yeah,
gentlemen.
I bet she will.
She'll notice.
Ugh. What a disgusting color pumpkin is,
pumpkin,
don't you think?
Pumpkin spice. Yeah.
I love orange, but not pumpkin.
I have to tell everybody to keep your eye on the Real Horror Show Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Because I bought a butt pumpkin.
A butt pumpkin?
I bought a butt pumpkin.
Like a pumpkin that you specifically make a bum out of.
No, it's a pumpkin that looks like a butt.
Right, and you put it like downstairs on a scarecrow or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. But it looks like a butt.
Sure.
And it's basically like...
Is it muscular? Is it scaly?
It's a nice looking butt. Yeah. Like, if you saw this butt, you'd be like, that's a butt that I could see myself looking at for an extended period of time.
So it's handsome.
Yes, it's a handsome butt.
It's got some curves to it.
So it's been raining the last couple of days, so I haven't been able to take a picture of it. But I am going to take a picture, because I want to get a picture of my son holding the butt pumpkin.
Nice.
And then we're going to put that on the social media, so I will share that.
Nice.
So keep your eyes on the page for the butt pumpkin.
You don't see too many scarecrows with love handles and a nice bum pumpkin.
Because
there's a lot of... We have a scarecrow with some love handles, like a middle-aged scarecrow.
I've never seen a butt pumpkin before.
Yeah.
Molly took one look at it. We went up to the fair yesterday.
Sure.
Molly took one look at it and immediately had to own it.
Nice.
And the guy that we bought it from...
So that was a specific butt pumpkin.
The guy that we bought it from said, I knew that wasn't going to last. I just put that out 20 minutes ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And he only had the one. He had more than that.
No, he only had the one.
Nah. As soon as you left. That's what they do with the circus and the fairs and stuff.
When you see it, you'll understand. This is a rare thing to get a butt pumpkin.
It looks like a real bum.
Yeah.
Is it flesh colored or is it orange?
No, it's orange.
Is it beet red?
It's orange.
All right. Yeah.
I've got an idea of what I could do with it for Halloween.
I got plenty of things I could do with it, yeah.
That involves a piece of millet and some Indian corn.
Sure.
But it's one of those things that it's really going to annoy some of the neighbors if I do it. Some of the neighbors will think it's hilarious.
I bet some people are already annoyed with us talking about it.
I know. Yeah. Some of the neighbors will think it's hilarious. Some of the neighbors will never speak to me again.
Yeah.
And the question is the joke good enough?
It is.
To have the neighbors never speak to me again?
Yes, of course it is. You got to go for it.
Other than the neighbor who already doesn't speak to me.
You got to go for it.
Which is, I don't know. I don't know. Because it's, you know, we run a family-friendly Halloween where I come from. And it's,
yeah,
it's bathroom humor. I don't necessarily think it's not family-friendly.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you got a pumpkin, you know, taking a drop on your front steps.
Yeah.
Some people are going to look at that and be like, what are you doing?
You're right.
You know,
it's just like when you go to work.
I brought my kids over here for candy, not to see that.
Yeah, that's true. I remember plenty of jobs in the past. They found out it did comedy and then someone would come out and they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't have come to the show. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, a bum pumpkin. That sounds good. So it's orange. It looks good. It's got some curves. You're going to make something nice out of it.
It's amazing.
That says October.
It truly is an autumn gift.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're looking forward to the adding the butt pumpkin to the display.
Have you noticed how it's gotten very cold in the last week? Speaking of everyday horrors, as we like to do the last couple of weeks here, we might as well start talking about a few of them. Have you put your... Now, I know you have a small child, so have you put the heat on for your child?
I put the heat on for me.
Okay.
Well,
you got the sweater on, so you must be warm.
I hand in my man card right now.
Yeah.
We went from 95 degrees and humid day after day after day to... Oh, it's in the 40s now.
Yeah.
And I'm not acclimated to it.
No.
And I'm perpetually dehydrated because I drink way too many martinis.
Nice.
So I'm cold all the time anyway.
Yeah.
And when you add this, and I'm sitting there trying to watch television with a small child attacking me and I'm still cold, I'm like, the heat has to go on. So yeah, the heat is on. Even though, like, oil is
like Glenn Fry,
$79.99 a gallon right now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. I need to be comfortable for a few minutes.
I'm not even looking at the price right now.
Oh, you don't
want
to know.
No, I just want to be warm.
Okay.
I haven't turned mine on yet. It's around 62, 61, and I'm okay.
Yeah.
I haven't woken up shivering, so I'm fine.
I got no problem at night because, you know, like most people, I own a comforter.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you own a comforter, you don't need heat at night.
Yeah.
But it's that after work, after dinner, settling down, trying to relax, and my teeth are chattering.
Yeah.
That I'm looking at my wife and saying, turn the heat on.
I have a bunch of field mice.
She's usually the one begging me in November to turn it on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not before December 1st.
Oh, that's late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You grew up in the 70s. I grew up in like the mean 70s.
Yeah.
When nobody had any oil.
No, we didn't have much of anything. We barely had shoes.
And
we'd have like one shoe. Like there would be a size 9 and a size 4.
And I had one of those dads that was like, how far can we get into winter before we turn the heat on?
Yeah.
You know, so I've grown up with that.
Yeah. I kind of like that game though. I kind of like it.
My wife, meanwhile, was, you know, born in 1982 into an age of abundance.
Sure.
And the idea that there isn't heat on demand whenever she wants it is alien to her.
Yeah, back in the 70s, like, if we wanted to have some heat, we'd have to throw, like, the family kitchen table right into the into the hearth.
You gotta, my dad ripped out the, well, he didn't rip out the fire. My dad stuck a wood stove in the fireplace and used it to heat the house. Yeah. You know? So it was like,
you put a stove in the fireplace to heat the house?
Go fetch wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my life. Go fetch wood or we're cold tonight.
Yeah.
I had to go outside and
it's like we wanna,
load up the wood and bring it in. And
but then you want to cook up some Chef Boyardee on the stove. You're like, no, we had to burn that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have some field mice, so I'm kind of playing them out right now. And I'm like, if the place gets cooler and cooler, hopefully I can freeze them out before I freeze myself out.
But nice.
That's what's going on at my house. I have to tell you about an everyday horror that happened last week. Like within 5 minutes that we ended the show, I started to tell you about this. But I get back to my car and there's a giant 18-wheeler truck that's not only blocked me in, but has blocked three other cars here in front of Cummings Hall on the campus here at Tufts. And I'm like, what is actually going on here? So I ended up going to the truck driver, and I said to the truck driver, can you move your truck? And he's like, oh yeah, let me do that right now for you. He goes inside the truck, and I thought he had put down, I get inside the car, I go and I look around, and he takes some stuff out the back of the truck. It looked like he was closing the truck, but he just got more stuff out, and then he goes in Cummings Hall and disappears. And I'm like, you son of a... So I go up, and I go into Cummings, and I see these two kids, and they're sitting there at the door. And I'm like, do you know where that guy went with the truck outside that's dropping off some food or whatever? And the truck. And I'm like, yeah, there's a truck outside. It's blocking in four people. I'm like, can we call campus security? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, you don't know. And I'm like, what are you guys actually doing here? You just greeting people? Or like, is there any campus person? I'm like, listen, I got my community member card. So I called up. And I get the person on the phone, and she's like, oh, where are you? And I'm like, I'm right outside Curtis Hall, and Cummings here. And she goes, well, there's a truck there? And I go, yeah. And is it legally parked? I'm like, yeah. Like, well, I'm like, people can't get out. She's like, is it illegally parked? I'm like, yeah, that's what I just said. We can't move. I'm like, if somebody has something wrong, they're not going to be able to move their cars. So the guy finally comes back. And by now, two other people have gotten into their cars, and they're waiting. And they've talked to somebody else who's also at the truck. And they've also told them that they're going to move the truck right away. And we're sitting there in our cars, and I'm like, this is their game. This is what they do every week, I think. So they go and they drop off all their food at Cummings or wherever they're going on campus, and they just block people in. So say somebody's having a baby.
Yeah.
You know, say I'm like a head wound. I fall down the stairs here at Curtis Hall, and I go, you know, wandering back to my car, and I need to get somewhere. I can't go anywhere. You shouldn't really drive with a head wound, but you know what I mean.
You drive over the sidewalk.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was pissed.
Yeah.
And eventually they moved, you know.
So how long were you waiting for this?
40 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
40 minutes.
40 minutes.
Yeah, so I didn't leave campus until like 7:45. So we could have gone to a nice dinner and chatted about the show and talked about what we're going to do next week. But no, yeah, I was mad.
You should be mad.
I gave him 10, 15 minutes, right? I'm a relatively nice guy. I didn't like just go off the cuff and turn beet red and go, you know, ready to get rid of this guy. But yeah, but what annoyed me the most was the fact that the guy's just like, yeah, I'll move it right now. And he leaves.
Yeah.
And then he tricked me and he went back in. That's what makes me mad.
Yeah. No, that's poor form.
So I think I'm going to call the company. Would you call the company?
I would absolutely
and say
call the
something
company.
About the delivery.
Do they have
people?
The number? Do they have the number on the back?
Oh yeah, I got the numbers. I got the guys that were there. Everything. Yeah. I got it all.
Yeah.
You know how I like to save data. I'm a data man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it. I'm going to do it.
Ask them why they're blocking cars in for 40 minutes on a Wednesday night and parking illegally.
That is an everyday horror.
Yeah.
That was my everyday horror this week. That's a good one, right? And
that happens
to be. I mean, that's an everyday horror for not only me. You know, what was great is the guy that was in front of me, too. He was stuck in there. And I knock on his window. He looked at me like I was going to kill him or something. I'm like, dude, I'm just parked behind you. Did they say something to you? And he's like, yeah, they said they were going to move the truck. And I'm like, don't believe him.
Yeah.
Don't believe him.
Wow.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid, man. But what happened to you this week? Any good everyday horror stories?
Nothing.
Something happened at the grocery store or the gym or something?
No. Really, the most horrifying thing was going to Topps Field Fair yesterday and
the people.
No.
The crowd.
Because there weren't any.
No, really. Oh, and, well, it was soggy.
It's a Tuesday.
You picked a soggy day.
So we went on a Tuesday afternoon, and you know, I don't think it was supposed to start raining last night, but it did start raining last night, and I think maybe other people had figured out that it was going to rain last night, and that's why they weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's thin the way it was last night, you can see things more clearly than when you're trying to navigate crowds.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I notice pulling up is that parking is now $15.
$15.
Which,
and it's a field.
Yeah.
It's like a field of mud.
It's a field that they own, all right? And you want to tell me that you need the $15 for parking? Fine, you need the $15 for parking.
It's horse pucky.
I can live with that.
Horse pucky.
But admission is now $20 a head.
Come on. To look at a pumpkin, like a giant pumpkin?
So it's like just to get
and
in
some
the...
sheepdogs running around?
Thank God the kid's under eight. Just to get in the door, I've spent $55.
Wow.
And as soon as you're in the door, welcome to our world of $4.50 bottles of soda. The giant turkey leg is $18.
$18.
Fried dough is $10.
You can go to Costco and get like four rotisserie chickens.
I know. Fried dough is $10. Fried dough is $10.
Yeah.
People
love it. I don't like that.
I love fried dough.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's one of the worst things you can have. It's like having 10 donuts.
What's wrong with having 10 donuts?
Well, you're going to die in 10 days.
Well, I think you're going to live a little bit longer than that. But, but you know, it's... depends on how much sugar you put on there.
Yeah.
Fried dough in
the cinnamon's what's keeping you alive. Did you have a little cinnamon on it?
I always put on more cinnamon than sugar.
Yeah, that's all right then.
Because the cinnamon is the valuable...
You'll be fine.
Yeah. The cinnamon is the valuable item that you put on.
I know. If they keep out like a little shaker of it, I usually take two or three to bring home.
Yeah.
So I get some cinnamon.
I get my own cinnamon at the supermarket.
Got my cinnamon at the house.
Yeah, I get my own cinnamon at the supermarket.
Yeah.
But it's like we're walking around and it's like there are... open spaces in the trade show hall, which I've never seen before. We probably shouldn't have been in the trade hall anyway, because if I got COVID in the last 5 days, I guarantee you I got it in there.
From a farm animal, maybe.
Not from a farm animal. Yeah. From one of those hucksters that's demonstrating the peeler all day long.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, in front of thousands of people indoors without a mask on.
And like licking the peeler when he's done with his apples.
If I got COVID, I got COVID in there.
Let me make you a fresh apple crisp.
But there's open spots in there that I've never seen before. There's no poultry because of the bird flu.
Oh, so the avian flu is still a thing.
Yeah. The poultry barn is empty except for they've got the egg incubators and the baby chicks up front.
Yeah.
The petting zoo's been gone for a couple of years because the town of Topsfield is ridiculous.
The petting zoo?
Yeah. Yeah. In its place, they now have a beer garden.
Yeah.
And
to make you drink away the fact that you spend $55 for a family of three to park and get through the door.
Topsfield has always been alcohol free, and to me that's been one of the charms of it.
Yeah.
So when you start taking things away and replacing them with a beer garden, like to me the experience is really starting to go downhill.
Yeah.
So we go down to the Midway, and it's God help you if you can figure out. In the old days, you bought a ticket and you went on a ride.
Sure.
Now they've got a machine where you buy credits.
Oh, my God.
And every ride requires a different number of credits.
Is it an app? Is it the Topsfield Fair app?
Basically. And really? All of this, it's a reloadable card. And all of this is designed to confuse you as much as possible. So you
do it on your phone. So you can actually do a downloadable card on your phone.
I think you need the physical card.
Come on. It's supposed to be like a fair, like farmers and stuff.
We didn't do it.
Farmers don't use apps.
Because over in Kittyland,
the only apps they know are nachos and things like that.
Over in Kittyland, where we went on the rides, it was like $3.75 a ticket. And every ride is one ticket.
Yeah.
I can figure
decent.
That out.
That's all right.
Figure that out all day long.
Yeah, make the boy happy. Get him on four or five rides. All set. $25.
Whatever's going on down the Midway, I have no idea. I'm not buying your card. I'm not going on these rides.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I'm paying way more than I should if I do that. But the other side of it is, there's no good carnival games down there.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be you go down there and there'd be some ring toss somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, throw the ball, and if it lands in your month, you win a prize.
Sure.
None of that.
Yeah.
It's all water gun games, and the biggest ripoff, you know, you bust a balloon with a dart, and they give you a comb.
Mm.
And if you do that 70 times at $10 a pop, they'll give you a stuffed animal that's 5 inches tall.
Yeah.
That you could have bought online for $1.
And it's like E.T.
Yeah.
Nobody even knows what it is. It's been sitting there for 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just profoundly disappointing.
Hey, how much does corn on a stick cost now?
I didn't price the corn. I saw the $10 fried dough, and you know, I was pretty much out at that point.
People were sitting there. It's funny because it says you're kind of at the tail end of it. It says it's the 30th to the 10th, so they have this relatively small window to make it sound like it's the best thing in the world. Now you've been to the Big E, right?
Yes,
I've never been to the Big E.
Big
E's great, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, the Topsfield Fair. I remember riding an elephant there. Do you remember riding an elephant?
Yeah.
Did you ever ride an elephant?
Can't do that anymore because Topsfield banned it.
Yeah, of course.
That's where the beer garden is now.
But I have the biggest smile of my life on top of that elephant. And I was like in my 20s at the time.
Yeah.
I went with like some friends and we had a blast.
I remember when they used to have, I don't know if you remember seeing this or not, they used to have a big inflatable Cinerama dome.
Oh, yeah.
And they would show like edited clips of all of the motion sequences from Cinerama.
Sure, yeah, that's cool.
And it was wraparound, and you'd freak out watching it because, you know, it was designed to simulate the motion.
Yeah.
Do you remember the rocket ride where you'd go inside the rocket and they'd close it up and there was a film that showed on the screen at the front and they'd tip the rocket up and it'd roll back and forth and it felt like the rocket was moving while you watched this movie?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember something like that. I want to say that was at Canobie Lake Park, too.
Canobie Lake still has theirs, like, sitting off to the side somewhere. They had one, too.
Yeah, because it went up in the air, and then they'd put on this little, like, 13-inch screen.
Yeah.
Like you were actually shooting to the moon or something.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
That ride was great. Yeah. I met Buffalo Bill's grandson at Topsfield Fair.
Cody Bill?
Yeah. Yeah. I forget what his name was, but he was claimed to be Buffalo Bill's grandson, did some rope tricks. And
yeah.
Good or bad, for all anybody knows. But,
yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff that used to go on. None of that.
Last time I went to the Topsfield Fair, it was a number of years ago, I saw Pat Benatar and The Bond.
Yeah.
With Greg Giraldo.
Yeah.
And they were playing music and stuff. They weren't just hanging out in The Bond. But it was kind of weird because it was like, everybody roped us into where like the Budweiser Clydesdales were. So there's like horse pucky everywhere and like a mud floor. And they're playing in the bar and it stunk. You know, it's like I don't like horse pucky with my rock and roll show.
They got Kansas playing again this year.
Kansas, huh?
I think Chubby Checker's up there tonight.
Nice. He's doing the twist.
He's doing the twist. He's going to see Chubby Checker for free.
Yeah, so that's not bad.
They got a few things. I mean, if you go on
that's
Tuesday
worth 55
afternoon,
bucks right there to see a 90-year-old man do the twist.
He doesn't.
Sexy.
He doesn't actually do the twist anymore. No. He asks people to come up on stage and do the twist.
Yeah.
Because I think his chiropractor has told him there will be no more twisting.
I was going to say, he must be pretty loose.
Your next twist will be your last, Mr. Checker.
Chubby Checker is pretty loose. Is he still fat?
Mr. Checker, he's slimmed down a little.
Has he?
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting, and this is as an aside, but I saw Shatner on like Bill Maher, and he's 91, and he's fat.
Yeah.
Like, and I saw him back in the spring. And he's fat. I'm like, there's not many people that are in their 90s that are fat. I'm like, how is this guy so tubby and still alive?
He's been fat for a long time.
Yeah, but it gives me a lot of hope, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to beef up in my 80s and 90s. I think it keeps him alive.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got to get rid of all those fat cells. So he can literally stop. He can fast, like, all winter, and he'll still be alive by the spring.
Yeah.
Him and Keith Richards. Vampire blood and food keeps you alive.
This reminds me that I need to look up Fat Bear Week.
Fat Bear
Week. Are you familiar with Fat Bear Week?
No, who's the Fat Bear?
So, Fat Bear Week.
Ugh. I saw SNL this weekend. They did a Fat Bear sketch. I'm like, oh my God, it was awful. That's another every week horror.
So, if you go to explore.org, oh, it's going on right now.
Yeah.
I knew this was time.
Explore.org.
Yeah, if you go to explore.org/Fat Bear Week, they do this every year. And what they do is every day, they give you a choice of two bears, and they show you a picture of the bear from the spring and a picture of the bear right now.
Oh, it's currently live.
And you're voting on which bear is the fattest.
No
like,
kidding.
Which bear did the best job bulking up over the season?
I'm seeing Brooks Falls brown bears in Katmai National Park in Alaska on that right now.
Yep.
And they're like salmon hunting. That's pretty fun, actually. Oh, there's all kinds of live feeds there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's amazing how many cameras are out there just watching us.
We were watching.
We have cameras watching us right now, Derek.
We were watching. Oh, I think it started. Okay, so it started today.
Okay.
So explore.org/fatbearweek, fat-bear-week.
how am I finding this? I'm on explore.org.
If you just
I'm on the live cams.
Look up Fat Bear Week 2022.
Am I searching it? I'm searching for
search Fat Bear Week 2022, and you should find
am
it.
Am I going to see my ex-girlfriend on here? Bear Week?
And I am definitely going for 164.
Yeah.
Just well,
my fat boyfriend, Fat Bear Week. All right, Fat Bear Week. I see a couple of polar bears. I see a tiger. I don't know. I want to vote for these fat bears.
Now, they ask for your email address.
Oh, my God. Really?
I gave them my email address.
Don't give them my email address.
No, no, no.
I don't want any fat bears showing up in my feed because you know what I'm going to get is a bunch of overweight gay men.
I gave them my email address last year, and there was no problem with
really?
It. Like, they haven't spammed me.
Did you check
me.
Your junk folder? It must be full.
They haven't. No, it's not. They haven't been a pain in the neck about it.
Okay.
So the reason they do that is so that people won't vote like 10,000 times for one bear.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
They do it to keep the...
I bet you're getting on some lists, though.
Not that I can tell.
All right. I can tell.
And that's... I want to say that's not a good picture of 856. I'm going for 746.
I don't see these fat bears you're talking about. I'm on explore.com. I'm explore.org. Fat Bear Week.
Yeah.
I see a little dog that's fat. I see a polar bear that's called Tundra Buggy. He's kind of fat. I see the Riffles Bear Cam. There's like salmon on it. I don't see no fat bears.
How are you?
I don't know. I'm looking at it. Here's my bear cam. Lower River in Alaska.
No,
I don't see any fat.
You should have this.
How do you get Fat Bear Week? There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, so you put it in, though. You put fat bear. I see. You did explore.org and then
Google. Go to Google.
Bear dash week.
Do you remember where Google is? Yeah. Fat dash bear dash week.
Now you're being condescending.
Do you remember where the Google is?
I got it. It's right here. See?
Good.
Fat Bear Week.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I don't know. You gotta train the trainer, man.
Here I am. This will be your daily obsession from now until the 11th.
Oh, I got it. Fat Bear Week.
Yeah.
March 1st. Oh, match one.
Yeah.
Why am I reading March 1st? I'm starting to get dyslexic at 51.
This will be your obsession for the next 7 days.
This one isn't even fat. This one of awesome. Them's skinny.
Well, they're both...
The other one's slender.
Trust me.
They're both malnourished bears. They're not fat at all.
The ones that they start out with are the ones that probably aren't going to go very far. Take a look at match
I
two.
I see. So they're malnourished bears. They've fattened them up.
So what you're seeing, the picture on the left,
yes,
is the bear as it came out of hibernation spring.
I see.
The bear on the right is getting ready to hibernate now.
He's got like a full... Oh, I see. So is it the same bear?
Yes, that's the same bear.
Yeah.
They've been fattening themselves up on salmon and campers for the last...
Timothy Treadwell?
7 months. Yeah. Anybody foolish enough to... venture into the bear's territory.
Timothy Treadwell and his girlfriend of the week.
A lot of missing persons reported ahead of Fat Bear Week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We don't, you know.
You know what? This is kind of fun, though. I wouldn't say this is an everyday horror. Bears are an everyday horror,
bears,
I guess.
Yeah, bears are they just killed a bear in Middleton.
Really?
Yeah, they shot and killed a bear
just
in Middleton.
Just for fun, or
no?
Was it for sport?
I don't think there's anything
sporting.
Were
the Trumps involved?
I don't think there's anything sporting about shooting a bear in the suburbs.
No,
you know,
no,
I mean,
no.
It kind of stands
it
out.
It could be. It depends on where you stand politically and how much money you have.
There was a bear over there making a pain in the neck out of itself.
Remember the most dangerous game when they paid money to, like, hunt people down?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's totally sporting to shoot a suburbanite.
Oh, it definitely happens.
In the suburbs,
yeah.
But not a bear.
Yeah.
You know, because the bear is pretty obvious. They just shot a bear in Middleton because it was making a pain of itself.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous animal.
Go ahead.
You've seen The Revenant.
I have. I love it.
Like, you're not going to mess with a bear after seeing that.
You know what? I kind of, after seeing the movie, I kind of wanted to be a bear a little bit more.
Well.
Imagine just going in the woods whenever you want and then going to sleep for like 6 months. One of the everyday loves for me is putting that blanket over me every night.
I think
it's fantastic.
I think bear has a pretty good life.
Yeah, bear's got a pretty. It's got a better life than me. That's
other
for sure.
than people. Like, nobody's really going to mess with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're hanging out having a good time and some caribou come by and they're like, no, this is our spot at beach now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like if you're a bear, you're like, move along, caribou. Do you not recognize that I'm a bear? Do you not see the claws and fangs? I am unimpressed by your antlers. Please, please continue your journey.
Did you have a teddy bear when you were a kid?
Oh yeah, I had Paddington Bear.
Did you?
The bear.
I had a teddy bear, not for long, but I did have a small one. It was kind of like, it wasn't really soft though. It was like one of those like teddy bears from like the 40s or 50s. So it was kind of like a hard.
Oh sure.
But it moved its arms and its legs, but it was almost like a little baby doll,
was it a cabbage patch doll in a way. Was it a Stife bear?
Could have been, yeah.
Because
it was nice though. It had like orange eyes, and you know, it was fun to look at as a baby. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
as an adult, not so much.
Well, you know, back in the day, nobody thought that kids want something soft. You know, life was hard. So you know, if you the fact that you got to sleep on a sheet,
throw this rock of a bear in with the baby.
The fact that you got to sleep on a sheet was considered a luxury back then.
That's
so
true.
We're not going to give you a soft bear. My Paddington had a music box in it, so it wasn't soft either.
Wow.
And it's like, you could hurt yourself on the thing.
That's pretty nice.
Because it had a music box and a key, and if you turn your head the wrong way while you were sleeping at night.
So it was a music box. It wasn't a bear.
Well, it was a bear with a music box in it. You turn the wrong way in your sleep, you cut your head open.
Yeah. You know that some company that made music boxes are like, we have too many of these things. How do we get rid of them? Let's turn it into a teddy bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a mashup. Was one of the original mashups.
It was a nice bear, though. I love that thing.
Yeah. I don't know the whole story behind Paddington. That was I never saw the movie either. It looks pretty good.
This is the funny thing. I own Paddington 2, which I hear is better than 1.
Wow.
Haven't watched it yet. And I bought it when it came out because everybody said it was the greatest sequel since The Empire Strikes Back.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, the scene where Darth Vader cuts off Paddington's hand is really moving.
A bear called Paddington was created in 1958. I didn't know that. I thought it was older than that.
I thought it was newer than that.
Really?
Because I remember getting the books, because I got the books and the bear when I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I thought they were new at that point in time.
I kind of thought Winnie the Pooh and Paddington were the same bear.
Yeah, no, different bears.
Yeah.
Both English bears.
And Winnie's kind of dumb, right? He likes honey, and that's about it. He just eats honey and gets like, he has like a pumpkin bum.
Yeah.
He always gets his ass stuck in a tree and stuff.
Winnie the Pooh is more the sort of pastoral English literature. You know, wasn't it great when we all lived on farms and things were nature and we didn't have to deal with the modern world?
Yeah.
Whereas Paddington is very much comedy of manners.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like British sitcoms and you like Monty Python, like Paddington is more up your alley. You know, because the thing about Paddington is Paddington, you know, by virtue of being a bear, doesn't know how to behave.
Yeah.
And so he's childlike in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, except the kids have been told don't do that, and Paddington hasn't. So Paddington gets to do all of the things that the kids would want to do.
Oh.
And because he's a bear, there's no, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to yell at him and be like, hey, bear, you know, quit drinking other people's coffee. You know, hey, bear, you're not supposed to be in here.
Now, isn't he played by, like, Ewan McGregor or something?
He's played by, I should know this actor's name because I've seen him on stage. Well, he's played by Zelensky in Ukraine.
Okay.
Like, President Vladimir Zelensky was the voice of Paddington.
You're kidding me.
No. In Ukraine, before he was the president of Ukraine.
Really?
He's played by the guy that plays Q in the Bond movies.
Hugh Bonneville, it says.
No.
Jim Broadbent.
No.
Ben Whishaw.
Ben Whishaw is the voice of Paddington.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's great. I love the first one.
Hmm.
And I will tell you that either we rented the first one or it was a Saturday night and nothing was on, so we threw the first one on TV, and I went into it totally expecting it to be more children's movie garbage of the type that has become widely acceptable in recent years.
Yeah.
And I was delighted by it and blown away by it because it was actually a very, very sweet film.
Nice.
And the second one is supposed to be even better. So I've got it. You know, I have a 2-year-old. We will watch it at some point.
Yeah.
We just got him through all the Minions movies.
Because those are pretty good, actually. Like, I like those Despicable Me's.
He loves the Minions
movies. They're fun.
He loves Gru. He loves the Minions.
Yeah.
I look at those movies. The thing that I like about those movies, none of this has anything to do with horror films.
By I know. I'm gonna make a direct turn in 1 second.
The thing that I like about the Minions movies is they are very clearly made by people who set out to entertain children,
mm-hmm.
not people who set out to build a brand, merchandise a product, create some sort of cult following. It's the original story is something that is written and created by people who just want to entertain kids and make something that's fun. And then all of that came along afterward.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with that. It's the exact opposite of what Disney does, which is you start with the business plan and then you jam the story around it.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk about Antlers. That's something else in the woods. The Wendigo. I saw this movie this week. You know about this?
I've heard of this movie, and I've heard. Sell me on it.
I don't want to sell you on it. I give it a marginal thumbs up.
So very marginal. So it's not. It's
a supernatural horror film. But what's interesting about it, its underlying theme is about child abuse and about becoming familiar with the sins of your parents and still protecting them.
I don't care.
Yeah, but it's also done by the guy that did Pan's Labyrinth.
That's the plot of Frozen. That's the plot of the Force dies at the hands of Star. The third one where the Emperor came back.
Yeah,
it's
Guillermo del Toro.
I like him.
Yeah, and he did his Hellboy too, right?
Yeah,
and he did Nightmare Alley. He did Blade 2. Did he do Blade 1? No, he did Blade 2. He did a movie called Kronos, and Nightmare Alley came out the same year. So this came out in 2021, and it looked interesting enough. What I did this week is I did see a few horror movies, and I picked out some newer horror movies and movies that I normally would not see. So I am going the extra distance for our show, where I'm watching something I know almost nothing about, and I'm going to give you a little review. And if something comes up that I kind of like and marginally, you know, give it a marginal thumbs up, I'm going to give this one a marginal thumbs up because it was interesting enough. It has a meth lab in it, so there's a letter grade right there.
All right, that's a win.
You have these two guys, and he's got his young son with him, and he's going in with his buddy, and they're going to get their meth. And all of a sudden, this thing attacks him, and it's called the Wendigo, which is from like a myths, and it's like a myth of the Pacific Northwest. It's like an Indian supernatural thing in the woods that's kind of like a deer, but it has more antlers, and it's vicious like a bear. And it actually kills a bear in it. So it's a nice little transition from Paddington to this antler creature. And so the dad, we don't know what happens to the kid and the dad, the credits roll, and then they introduce Jesse Plemons, who's pretty good, the guy from Breaking Bad, he's always good, and Carrie Russell, who's in it, and she's good.
So you got Jesse Plemons and a meth lab.
Yeah,
so already,
and Carrie Russell.
But already we know the audience that they're looking for, right? If you like Breaking Bad, you'll love Antlers.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I can see that. And Carrie Russell's in it, plus you got the people that loved Rise of Skywalker, Zori Bliss, or whatever her name was in that. She wears a helmet the whole time, other than when she wants to kiss Poe Dameron, then she doesn't let him. So you got Carrie Russell in there. She plays a sister, and it's a brother and sister as the lead, which I found refreshing, you know? And you weren't really sure where it was going to go or what was going to happen, and it was short enough. It kept under the 90, I think it's around 90 minutes. It's 99 minutes, so it goes over by 9 minutes for a good 90-minute horror movie. And it's pretty good. You're not really sure what's going to happen. She plays a teacher, and she has left California. She left the town, and she left Jesse, who is now the sheriff of the town. And she went to go teach out in California. She's gotten divorced. She's a former recovering alcoholic.
Oh, God.
Which yeah, there's a little bit there, like, okay, you're going to see your booze again. But what's interesting is they just kind of add that as a character thing. And she's always looking at booze, but she never really drinks it. You're not really sure if she's going to go back or not. So they try to make her a little bit more interesting. It's kind of like a paper-thin type of character.
Yeah.
But it's interesting in the fact that she takes an interest in this young boy because he's got nobody. Nobody knows where the meth lab father is. He's just gone missing. So they think he's still living there. But he's really just feeding his dad, who is turning into a new Wendigo, and keeping him away from eating the townspeople. So he's killing skunks out on the beach. And the kid thing, they think, you know, the kid's just disturbed, and he's throwing rocks at skunks and feeding them to his dad. And his younger brother gets involved too, and he starts turning into a little Wendigo. So it has some interesting, creepy stuff, but it's very, very gory, like super gory. And I'm not a huge gore fan, as you know, but it was interesting enough to give it a marginal thumbs up. So I got it at the library. Cost me nothing.
All right.
I own all the streaming services. I own the AMC, three movies a week. I'm paying for all this stuff. I saw this movie for free, you know, on a Monday night.
I don't think
it was worth seeing.
I don't think it's streaming anywhere right now, is it?
I think it's on HBO.
Oh,
I believe it's on HBO Max.
I've got that one.
Yeah.
If you
look at IMDb.com, it'll tell you exactly where it is. But also Graham Greene's in it from Dances with Wolves.
Maybe
he plays the Indian guy that knows all about the Wendigos.
Maybe I'll watch this thing. Because I will tell you, if you're going to give me a movie starring Carrie Russell about a giant animal,
yeah.
Once again, Cocaine Bear, coming in 2023.
Yeah.
Which is a story about a bear that eats like 45 pounds of cocaine.
Wow.
And goes nuts.
Nice.
Ray Liotta's last performance.
Cocaine Bear?
Cocaine Bear.
How have I not even heard of this?
Didn't I mention Cocaine Bear last week?
No.
It's Fat Bear Week with cocaine.
I see. Yeah, it says 2023. It's supposed to come out next year.
The bear has fattened itself up with cocaine. And it's directed by Elizabeth Banks, who did the singing movies.
Elizabeth Banks, she did the what's it called? The Pump It Up and the Pump It Up 2, It Up 3. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Banks.
She's directing a horror movie about a bear on cocaine.
Yeah.
I am so there for this.
Pitch Perfect 1, 2, and 3.
Pitch Perfect. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
I am so there for this movie.
It says as the byline, the tagline is, it tells the story of a drug runner whose plane crashes with a load of cocaine that's found by a black bear who eats the cocaine. It's dubbed as a thriller, though, not a horror.
It should... After that sentence, say hilarity ensues, because there's no way that hilarity does not ensue in that situation.
With a drug runner eating, bear eating cocaine, I have to, let's talk about the greatest bear movie of all time. Give me it. What do you think it is? I'm going to tell you what mine is.
Prophecy.
Prophecy's a great bear movie. Yes, that's a great bear movie.
That's...
And that has the scariest sleeping bag movie outside of Jason 9, where he takes the sleeping bag and uses it to kill a camper at one point. But Prophecy is a very creepy bear movie. But it's not really a full... Well, it is a bear.
It is a bear.
And it's mutated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This giant mutant bear is coming to, like, kill everybody, and, you know.
This isn't really a horror movie, but I love it. It's a thriller more. It's The Edge with Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Timothy Treadwell one we were talking about, Grizzly Man. Very cool movie.
Revenant.
Very disturbing movie. Revenant's a great movie. Revenant's, there are some great Bam movies. There's more great Bam movies than Wolfman movies.
You're talking about movies that are, you know, probably ought to be put down as horror movies, even though canonically, you know, they're not. Mm. You know, they're some kind of high drama or what have you. I put The Revenant right on top of that because...
Yeah, there's some disturbing stuff in there when he sleeps inside the horse and stuff.
Yeah, there's some scary-ass stuff in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's basically, this is what survival was back in the fur trapping days.
Any kind of survivor movie is fascinating to me.
But that bear attack is as scary as anything that you're going to find in a Jason movie.
But it's also very comical. I was the only one that laughed out loud when, like, the bear, like, wiped out, like, on its behind on the ice. I thought that was freaking hilarious.
Yeah, it's because who doesn't want to see Leonardo DiCaprio get ripped limb from limb by a bear?
Yeah.
You know.
Pretty wild.
A lot of women would call that karma.
Oh, Leonardo DiCaprio's great. I don't care what anybody says about
him. Just don't date him. You know, he's not the marrying kind. He's not sticking around.
That's all right. Yeah. You know why they don't like him? Because he's not the marrying kind. Because he knows better. Simple as that.
So
people call me a genius.
I should probably be sharing these to our
Which ones? The Fat Bears?
No, definitely go check out Fat Bear Week. I should be sharing these to our page.
Sure. Yeah, marginal thumbs up for the antlers for me.
Because every week for the last couple of years, I've been posting on Facebook Friday Night Frights.
Yes.
And the whole concept behind Friday Night Frights is it's a free horror movie that you can watch somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to focus in on the hits of the VHS era.
Yeah.
Or films.
70s, 80s.
Or films from that period that would have been hits of the VHS era. I'm doing a whole thing on Lucio Fulci right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know who Lucio Fulci is, Lucio Fulci made some of the goriest movies of the early 1980s. If you think Friday the 13th is gory, if you think Dawn of the Dead is gory, maybe I'll give you Dawn of the Dead. But if you think Friday the 13th is gory, it's because you have never seen a Lucio Fulci film.
Mm-hmm.
Fulci's stuff...
Yeah, he's pretty gory.
...is on a completely different level than American slashers. These were the movies that kids dared each other to watch. And the thing about them is, a lot of them didn't actually come out on legitimate home video in the United States until the DVD era. Like, occasionally you'd find, like, someone would drop it on VHS, and it was, like, some really poor quality version of the film.
Yeah.
But at least you could watch
Vestron Video.
Yeah. Well, not even Vestron. It was more like, you know, Jimmy's Backdoor Video Company. It's like,
Jimmy's Backdoor
Jimmy's videos. Opened his back door, and he's throwing VHSs out. Let's go get some.
And he also has a meth lab inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at Lucio Fulci, and this week... I was watching The Beyond for probably the 50th time.
Yeah, creepy movie.
Really, really creepy movie. And quite possibly the best film that Fulci ever made. It's just bizarre. And the thing about it is, it doesn't have any sort of a recognizable plot to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bunch of things that happen. The basic premise of it is a woman buys a hotel in Louisiana. And one of the gates of hell happens to be under the hotel.
Yeah.
So anybody who might figure out that secret winds up dead. Probably in a very, very, very unpleasant way.
Very gory way.
Yeah. Yes. And at the time that Fulci made it, the critics were all sitting there saying, there's no story to this. It's just weirdness.
Yeah.
And Fulci's response to that, and screenwriter Dardano Sacchetti's response to that, was to say, this isn't about plot. This is about just putting pure terror on the screen. And what they were doing was they were riffing on what Dario Argento had done with Suspiria. Because Suspiria, for those who've seen that, and you and I have seen that on the big screen.
Yeah, it's an awesome movie.
If you know Argento, you probably know him for his giallo films, which are procedural murder mysteries with a beginning, middle, and end. Suspiria is just like a bunch of weirdness involving witches.
Yeah.
With an incredibly gory beginning. And like one gory scene in the middle. So Argento goes out and makes Inferno, which is another film like Suspiria.
Right.
That has a little more guts and a little more weirdness in it. Meanwhile, Fulci is making this Gates of Hell trilogy. City of the Living Dead, The Beyond, and House by the Cemetery, which was shot right here in Massachusetts, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just a few miles from where we're sitting.
Yeah.
And those three films were about the Gates of Hell. And in each one of them, the Gates of Hell open and bad things happen. Like the dead walk, the living die in very unpleasant ways.
Yeah.
And the film ends. The Beyond ends on a note of unbelievable hopelessness and helplessness. And when people talk about those three films as a trilogy, Dardano Sacchetti wrote all three of them, so there is that continuity. There's always been the question of, well, are they really related? When you watch all three of them in sequence,
yep,
and you see how they play out, you understand that, yes, there is a larger story about the Gates of Hell being told here, but it's spread out across these three films, and you've got to sort of dig into it to understand what's happening in the background with all this. Anyway, if you like blood and guts, hoo boy, like the first 5 minutes of this film will set you up. It's on Tubi right now.
Tubi.
And Tubi has got the excellent Blue Underground transfer, or excuse me, Grindhouse releasing transfer of this. It's pristine.
Yeah.
It's as gorgeous as the film has ever looked or is ever likely to look. There is a 4K of this on the way at some point, but for now, feel free to throw this thing on. You're going to get some commercials with it.
Sure.
But it's completely uncensored. It is a gorgeous scan of the movie, and you'll get the full effect of watching it. You know, just with some... And I will give Tubi credit. They tend to put their commercial breaks in at good places.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
yeah.
Someone is... So whoever does it over there actually sits down and watches the film.
Movies, yeah, yeah.
It says, we can put it here. You don't get too many abrupt, up here's a commercial.
It's not a person that's like saying, hey, it's no Elizabeth Banks Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
You know?
If you can handle the gore...
Yeah.
The thing I will say about this film, if you haven't seen it, is that the atmosphere and the presentation, it just gets under your skin.
Yeah.
It's scary as hell, but you got to watch it the first time and get over the sheer weirdness of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the challenge for a lot of people. Critics at the time had nothing good to say about it.
The original Dr. Fulci.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Critics at the time had nothing good to say about it, but critics at the time hated these kind of movies.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was experimental and a little bit different gave them license to say, here's another amateurish Italian movie that's all blood and guts with no story. They're not analyzing it. They're not looking at it because they don't want to.
Right.
They just want to dismiss it and get on to the next, you know, Bergman's brilliant
sure
movie.
Of course. Yeah.
So... check out The Beyond, usually my Friday night frights.
A video nasty. They would call it a video nasty.
It was one of the video nasties. We're going to get into that at some point in
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the future, but basically it was like you and your buddies hearing something. We heard it from a chemistry teacher in high school, and he's like, guys, you have to watch this movie. And that's how we got introduced to horror movies that were pretty nasty and some John Waters stuff, which was also considered a video nasty.
The UK actually banned these movies and made it an arrestable offense to possess them.
Yeah.
In a stunning concession of censorship in the late 20th century.
Yeah.
And it's still sort of one of those things that they don't like to talk about over there because it was a case where public hysteria just ran ahead of common sense.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're banning movies and throwing people in jail for owning a horror movie.
Yeah. Crazy.
So, The Beyond was on that list. Pretty much everything Fulci made was on that list. But House by the Cemetery, I can't do it on Friday Night Frights because it's not streaming anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There is a low quality copy of it floating around on YouTube. There is a very, very good, that's coming out on 4K in a few weeks. There's a very, very good Blu-ray of it available. And one of my favorite things on that is if you freeze frame it at the right point, there's a shot of cars parked on the side of the street.
Yeah.
And there's a big, if you grew up around here, you know it, there's a WBCN bumper sticker on one of the cars.
Oh, nice.
And you look at it, you're like, I remember those.
Sure. Yeah. Apparently, Dr. Fulci shows up as the librarian, too, in The Beyond.
He does. He has cameos in all of his films.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
And, you know, I am a fan of Fulci. He's
like a Hitchcock for the horror genre.
Fulci covers a lot of ground.
Who else does that as a horror director? Not many people. John Carpenter never showed up in any of his movies, did he? I don't think so.
Not that I know of.
Yeah. Yeah. We had to talk about Halloween at one point.
Stephen King shows up in all of his. Hitchcock showed up in his.
Yeah.
Fulci showed up in almost all, not all of them, but almost all of his.
Yeah.
Trying to think of, I can't, there is another horror director that comes to mind who did that.
Yeah. Let's take a brief break here. We will pause for station identification. Here it is, WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM on your radio dial. It's Real Horror Show with Chris Earle and Derek Gary. Why don't we do our Vincent Price recipe of the week here? And this one is roast pork with prunes.
Yep.
I'm sure you've heard this one before. But we will be back in only a few minutes here. We're going to talk about Halloween in... we'll talk about Halloween a little bit and a little bit of the sequels here, since Halloween's coming up and October is our month here. And Derek has a couple of other new releases we can talk about for 4K and Blu-ray and all of those things. We'll be right back in a few minutes. It's WMFO in Medford. Thanks for listening to Real Horror Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
For our entree, I have chosen roast pork. Now, I choose a boneless roast because they are much easier to carve in front of my guests. My favorite is a boneless pork sirloin. For six guests, I would buy a 5 to 6 pound roast. The leftovers make superb sandwiches, and I love a good pork sandwich. I rub my roast with 2 teaspoons of spiced salt and granulated pepper, and I roast it first uncovered in a roasting pan with a lid for 20 minutes at 475 degrees. When the fat is browned, I take the roast from the oven and lift it out of the roasting pan. I take a pound of pitted prunes and 2 onions peeled and cut into eighths, and stir them into the pan drippings with a cup of red wine. Then I set the pork back in the pan on the bed of prunes and onions. I toss in 2 or 3 cloves and a bay leaf, and I cover it tightly. The pork should roast 30 minutes per pound of meat, so for our 5 pound roast, it would take about 2.5 hours. Let me tell you, the smell of this roasting should drive the most complacent family wild with desire. Somehow, the kitchen starts to smell like some wonderful magic is taking place, and believe me, it is. Your reputation as a cook should take off from here. I always carve this roast at the table and surround it with the prunes and the onion pieces. It makes a beautiful presentation and is quite easy to carve. The prunes taste divine. Even prune haters will love them. Sit back and enjoy the compliments. A full-bodied white wine is lovely with the pork roast. The Chenin Blanc could be continued, or a white Burgundy would be superb. Guten Appetit, or as the Austrians say, Mahlzeit.
A light-colored costume short enough so you don't trip. If you wear a mask, make sure you can see. Makeup's better. Don't crisscross the street. Call on one side, then the other. Parents, set boundaries and a time to be home. Carry a flashlight for extra safety. And let's all have a safe Halloween.
Happy, happy Halloween. Halloween, Halloween, happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
All right. right.
I hate you so much.
This is my favorite Halloween movie.
Oh, my God.
Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Oh,
my
God.
My favorite Halloween movie.
This jingle.
And look at what I brought, Derek.
This jingle.
Look it. I kept it in the bag for this moment.
Ugh.
Shamrock Novelties at Target.
Oh, God.
I got the three children. Look at that. Don't forget to wear your mask, kiddies.
Ugh.
That's horror right there.
Oh, my God.
One of the few movies where children are hurt in the horror movie. That doesn't normally happen until Hereditary. Crazy movie.
That's because we'll talk about that another week. That's because you've never seen Who Can Kill a Child.
Oh, I don't think I want to see that.
So, you know, the Italians will take care of you, my friend. Mm. Let me tell you.